As we come to our final service in our series, Apprentice, we come to the Great Commission, Jesus' final words before he left his disciples. And we read, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on earth and in heaven has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In verse 17, we read that some doubted. And as a Christian, that gives me hope, because like you, I'm sure there are times in your life when you doubt. You may doubt your faith. You may doubt your ability to communicate that faith to others. And we all struggle with doubts at times in our lives, particularly when we're up against tough situations. Steve Chalk wrote an article in a Christianity magazine entitled Room for Doubt. And he says, a young man tells his brother of a dream he experienced, a dream about Jesus returning, but rather than concerning Christ's eventual second coming. This was a vision of his visit to 16th century Seville, when the Spanish Inquisition was at the height of its powers. No fanfare greets Jesus' return. Instead, he walks to Seville's cathedral, where he's arrested by the Cardinal Grand Inquisitor. Later, the Inquisitor visits him in prison, informing him that the church no longer needs him and that he will be burnt at the stake the following day. Jesus, the Inquisitor explains, has to be executed because just as before, he jeopardizes people's salvation. He gives them too much freedom for their own good. The Inquisitor argues that Jesus has misjudged human nature. In giving human freedom to choice, he has explained, he has excluded the majority of humanity from redemption and doomed humanity to suffer. The vast majority of the human race just cannot handle choice. Few are strong enough to deal with the burden of freedom, and only the elite have the ability to face doubt and uncertainty and come through it with their beliefs intact. I tell you, the Grand Inquisitor declares, humans are pathetic creatures with no more urgent need than to find someone to whom they can surrender the gift of freedom they were born with. It was this point, he claims, that Jesus failed to grasp the first time. For instance, when Christ refused to demonstrate his power in the wilderness by casting himself down from the temple to be caught by angels, he missed the chance of cementing beyond all doubt his identity and power in the minds of people forever. Instead, his short-sightedness saddled them with the crippling burden of having to think for themselves. We've corrected your mighty achievement, the old man boasts, defending the brutal way in which the Inquisition forced people to believe the Church's doctrines. People will accept whatever we tell them with joy, because they have been spared the anguish and torment of having to make their own free and independent choices. This scandalous parable of the Grand Inquisitor is part of Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov, in which he explores the fact that Christ invites, he never compels, people to trust him. He always leaves room for questions and for doubts. So even though we come with doubt, that doesn't prevent us from following the Lord Jesus, and it doesn't prevent us from telling others of him. Because when we are commanded to go and make disciples, it is because Jesus has the authority, both in heaven and on earth, to send us. And it's not we that go. It's not our mission. It's not the church's mission, but it is God's mission that we do. And God is in control. God has always already demonstrated that through his victory over death upon the cross. And we can live in the knowledge that the victory is already ours. And so we go in that spirit. And the message that we have is one that is exciting. We should be thrilled about what Jesus has done in our lives and be excited about what we have to share with other people. Mums and perhaps dads amongst us will remember their own excitement when they learnt for the first time that they were pregnant. Now, many of them would have known that they would have had to wait to get it confirmed, but that initial knowledge was something that they longed to share. And yet they have to wait until it's been confirmed before they can share it. Maybe they share it with those closest to them. Certainly they would share it with their husbands. Well, hopefully they would. But there is a sense, isn't there, for mums particularly, when they know for the first time that they're expecting a baby, and yet they have to wait 12 weeks until they get it confirmed. They are there with that most wonderful of stories to tell other people, and yet they can't reveal it until it's been confirmed. We have a story to convey to other people of the way in which God has been active in our lives and has transformed our lives. And that's something that we should long to share with other people. It's not something that we just simply need to tell other people. Words are not sufficient. It's something that we need to put into practice as well. We need to demonstrate that through the lives we live and the way in which we make practical application through our lives, through demonstrating to other people. And perhaps that's something we struggle with. Here we have Jesus' final words. I wonder what your final words will be. Maybe it would be something flippant or profound. We can never anticipate the day when we will be taken from this earth to share in the glory of heaven. And so, you know, you're never prepared for the words that you're going to say. And yet here we have Jesus' last words. To go and make disciples. And the emphasis here is not on going. The emphasis here is on making disciples. And as we come to the end of this series on Apprentice, maybe we're not ready to go. Maybe we still want to learn more about the Lord Jesus. Well, if that's the case, then there certainly is opportunity here within the church for you to do that. We just started an Alpha course. That's an opportunity, again, to learn again the truth of the gospel, to learn about Jesus Christ. We have house groups that meet weekly, another opportunity to learn from God and learn the truth about the Lord Jesus. There's opportunity for us to learn, to be prepared to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus. And each of us are called as Christians to be active in his world. Some weeks ago when we were looking at, when we were starting, we put our name on a foot because we wanted to be counted in as those who were following the Lord Jesus. Those that did, I hope that's still the case. And as with any apprentice, the process of learning, both from a textbook and practically, never stops. Ask any electrician, ask any builder, ask any carpenter. Time and time again, they have to return to the textbook to learn additional skills years after they originally trained. And for us, there is a time when we too need to come back to God's word continually to learn what Jesus wants to do both in our lives and in the lives of those around us. We may struggle to put this command into practice because we're not eloquent, because we're not a great preacher, we're not your Billy Grahams who could attract thousands of people in his time to hear God's word. But the challenge for us is to be active where we are, in the most simplest of situations. All that Jesus calls us to do is to go and make disciples. So how do we do that? How do we make disciples of other people? Well, it's quite simple. Here in verse 20 we read, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's our task, isn't it? To teach other people. Ask any classroom teacher or assistant and they'll tell you that a big chunk of what children learn is not simply through textbooks, through reading it, but it's through practical demonstration as well. And if we are to be effective as Christians in the world today, then we need to be not only speaking what we know is the truth of Jesus Christ, but we need to be getting alongside people and building relationships with them, with our neighbours, with our friends, with those that we work with. You know, if we were to change one person's life in a year, we could transform the whole of this world within many of our lifetimes to come to know the Lord Jesus. We look at the world and we see its problems and we are discouraged by the enormity of the problems that there are there. And yet, if we were to go out and demonstrate the truth of the Lord Jesus as he teaches them to us through his word and through his life, we could transform the world in which we live. Many of you this week would have been appalled to see the BNP leader on Question Time trying to put across his policy and yet hiding the real truth of the BNP in this country. And many of those people who turned and voted for the BNP were discouraged, disheartened with the political situation in this country. They'd seen the expenses crisis. They'd seen many parliamentarians taking huge amount of money out of the public fund in order to support their lifestyles. They had seen the financial crisis within the banking system, and they'd seen senior people within the financial institutions of this country again taking huge amounts of money for themselves. And they'd seen situations within the community that they were part of, poverty and other issues not being dealt with at grassroots level because people were too engaged elsewhere in their own things. And it worries me, as it sure it does you, when we see men like the BNP leader being able, and members of the BNP being able to have senior positions within the European Parliament and trying to make their policies known. There is opportunity there. Maybe God is calling us to be involved in local politics because there are issues nationally that we need to address. And we need to put over the Christian point of view. There are Christians within Parliament who are doing great jobs and who are seeing that policies are dealt with properly and implemented properly. But there's also a huge amount of people within Parliament who are implementing things which are not dealing with the real issues in this country. And we are called as Christians to be in every situation of need. We learnt earlier of the life of Mother Teresa and her work. And Jeff spoke last week about his trip to India. Hopes to have the opportunity of visiting some of the areas that Mother Teresa was involved in. Tanya Bright, speaking on the last celebration on the first week at Minehead, spoke on this subject of go. And one man who had been in the seminars during the week with Roger Ellis and herself spoke to her and said this. He said, after spending a week at Minehead and learning the truth about being an apprentice, he said, it feels like I've been sitting on my hands for 15 years and now I can go out and use them for the purpose of the Lord Jesus. Maybe that's where we are at this point in time. Maybe it's not. Maybe we need to know a whole lot more about the Lord Jesus and learn from him. I would encourage you to read God's word. If you don't know where you are, if you're new to the Bible and you need some direction, then ask someone to show you. Our responsibility is about getting alongside other people and teaching them the truth of God's word and teaching them the truth of the gospel and making that known to other people. And in the simplest of ways, we can affect this community. I know that's happening already through events like Noise, we heard of in the summer. Our own young people and young people from other churches are getting involved in a very practical way in helping other people within the town who can't deal with gardening issues, and they've reached a stage in their life where it's beyond them, and so they need help. But that's not just the only situation we have in this community. Speak to the town council if you want to find out more about the real issues within our community. Young people on our streets. I had the misfortune of having my car damaged a couple of Saturdays ago when a group of young people, 14 and 15-year-olds, who were obviously drunk, about 6:30 in the evening, were walking down our road and caused about £1,000 worth of damage. We have to ask ourselves, you know, why do they do this? Where are their parents in this situation? Can we help as Christians in this situation? Watching a program on television a few weeks ago, talking with young teenage mums, single mums, who had deliberately become pregnant and had a baby because there was that lack of affection in their lives. They didn't experience it at home, so they needed someone who they could concentrate their love on and be loved by. Sad, isn't it, when we have that situation within our society. We live in a country that has the highest teenage pregnancy in the world. And these are issues that we feel at times powerless to deal with. And yet God calls us, and in calling us and sending us to go, we have that assurance, don't we, towards the end of this reading. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God never leaves us in a situation expecting us to deal with it on our own, but God is always there. It's God's mission we're involved in. God has won the victory already, and God wants us to be involved with Him in changing and transforming lives. Living in a great turbulence of El Salvador in the 1970s, Archbishop Oscar Romero was a man who knew what it was to witness sweeping social change. He was a leader of great courage who ultimately paid with his life for his determination to speak the truth on behalf of his people. In a talk given to a gathering of local churches, he spoke of their role in bringing in the kingdom of God. He says, "It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete," which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says that all can be said. No set of goals or objectives accomplishes the church's mission. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need future development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may not be complete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end result, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Intimacy and involvement. This is the nuts and bolts stuff of whole life biblical spirituality. And we are called to apprenticeship, to walk the way of Christ. As we go from here, may we be those who seek to make disciples for the sake of our faith and because God commands us to do it. Amen.